Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from George in the Western Cape. On the show today, we're chatting with Jimmy Moher. Sibanye-Stillwater. Yo, the market did not like that update. And of course, we'll touch on the US. The market didn't like anything about the US last night. Katie Thornycroft, she comes from JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting with her about a bunch of things, but particularly lessons that her and her team learned from the last two years of volatility shocks in the markets. And then some thoughts. I want to update on value versus growth. That continues to expand. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from the MoneyWeb. JC relaxes listing requirements. Changes that we'll see aimed at cutting the cost of compliance, which were perceived by some parties as excessive red tape. In essence, a lot of this is around different types of shares and as well as capital raising. Business Day, Monday, quarterly earnings soar, were bolstered by higher prices. And they're also looking to sell their Russian business, which has a net asset value of about $11 billion. Morning markets, US was red, very red. S&P down 3.6%. NASDAQ down 5.1%. Worst down day since September 2020. Asia's mixed with Sydney off 2.5%. Tokyo up a couple of points. Remember, they've been closed for the last 3 days. Commodities, mostly red. Gold, 1,875. Brent, the only green, $111.50 a barrel. Platinum, 944. Palladium, 2,179. Rand, 1606 this morning. Top 40 opening call, about 500 points to the red. That's about 0.8% as Tencent trades down 4.4% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moher, he's an independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the time this morning. That Sibanye update, I appreciate that earnings at $13.7 billion, that's almost a third off first quarter of last year, which is the comparable quarter, which of course was a record. The stock down, 7.8%, 7.9%, below 50. I didn't think the update was that horror, but the market disagreed with me completely. Your take on it?
Morning, Simon. The update from a numbers perspective, I think what spooked the market and what spooked investors was the fact that they mentioned that they're not going to give any further sort of forward guidance around production. They outlined that production was down 45%, or gold output was down 45% in the first quarter, and that the market didn't like. So, I mean, we've seen the commodity super cycle that happened last year. All miners benefited from that. They did really well there. And the expectation at this point, of course, with the concerns around the Ukraine and the overall global uncertainty and those tensions is that miners and guys in the commodity space will be doing really well with the higher prices, higher PGM prices, higher gold prices, and that sort of thing. And Sibanye to come out and say, one, our output for gold is lower. Two, we're still dealing with the wage negotiations. And three, we're not going to give any further operational guidance going forward because we don't want to overcommit to something. That's definitely something that's going to spook the market. But I also think the wage conversation is still weighing quite heavily on Sibanye at this point. You've got miners on the one side saying they want 150 Rand more, and then you've got executives on the other side saying, we're not going to pay you more. But our executive pay has just topped 300 million in the case of the CEO. It's a bit of an awkward conversation. It is a very, very awkward conversation at the moment.
I take your point on that. And I suppose it's also, the guidance, I agree, that was a surprise. Yes, they got a strike, but it would have been nice. Let's quickly touch on NASDAQ. When Jerome Powell spoke on Wednesday evening, the market was like, this is lacquer, and went off to the races. And then kind of woke up on Thursday and decided that they didn't like what he said. And the NASDAQ had a horror day. It's in essence, more of that volatility, more of that uncertainty.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's less about the rates decision that happened and all of that, but it's about the fact that we're inching closer to a U.S. recession. We know that Europe and the ECB and the U.K. have already outlined to say that their inflation is out of control, and they are happy and even considering triggering a recession on their end to get things under control. The U.S. is still on that mandate of saying, no, our policy's still all right, everything's still fine, inflation's still running sideways. We've still got non-farms numbers to come out today, jobs numbers to come out today. The inflationary pressure and the unemployment numbers are contradicting the U.S.'s we've got this under control thing. And we know what happened the last time the U.S. said they've got it under control. And so you're seeing that fear filter through to the markets. You're seeing that skepticism filter through to U.S. equities in particular, is to say, if we're going to have a recession, which is where most of the indicators are leading towards, then why are we still in the equity markets at this stage? Why are we not getting out early to sort of curb this or prevent this or sort of preempt whatever might come? Jerome Powell hasn't done much to address those recessionary concerns that institutional investors and retail investors are seeing at the moment.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And we're already, halfway to a recession in the US, because we've got that negative GDP for Q1, which came in at -1.4. So inching, maybe even in some ways, I don't want to say leaping, but certainly moving towards. We'll leave that there. That's Jimmy Moyhoi. He's obviously an independent analyst. And that's our question today. We're asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter, is about Sibanye Stillwater, that trading update. This morning, we noticed that the white metals, PGMs, under pressure. Question is, are you buying PGM stocks today? Sibanye, under 50, is that cheap? Does that get you interested? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Katie Thornycroft. She is head of international portfolio management, multi-asset solutions at JP Morgan Asset Management. Katie, appreciate the time today. The JP Morgan Asset Management, the multi-asset team, you've got about $301 billion globally. What do you think is important in the delivery of that successful client outcomes in multi-asset portfolios?
Simon, firstly, thanks for having me today and appreciate that question. There's really three things that I would highlight in terms of how we drive returns for our clients. So the first thing I'd say is it's about that longer-term mix of asset classes in our portfolios. And there, what we're doing is we're using our own long-term capital market assumptions of return and risk over the long term to help us assess what that best mix is. So that's our longer term framework. But then, of course, you know, we've got pretty challenging return objectives, and we need other tools to help us get there. So then the second thing I'd say is it's really around our access to the depth and breadth of our own platform. So it's about security selection alpha. Can we get in our portfolio some really interesting high conviction active strategies that, again, help drive that return? And it's also then around, you know, we can also introduce diversification of that alpha source there, which is fantastic. I have to say, I'm really fortunate. We've got more than 500 strategies on our platform. Mm-hmm. So I'm really able to assess different investment processes, different styles, and so on. And then there's a third piece as well, Simon, which is that it's really important for us to have the ability to be dynamic and responsive over those shorter term time horizons. And that's in terms of just being responsive to prevailing economic conditions, market backdrop, and so on. So it's around active asset allocation. So there we're leveraging our own dedicated multi-asset research capabilities, quant and qualitative, as well as obviously we've got a global team of experienced portfolio managers.
And you mentioned their dynamic. I mean, and investing is always dynamic, but the last couple of years have been particularly challenging. We've had COVID. We've had the Ukraine-Russia war going on. What's some of the lessons, perhaps, that have, that your team have learnt over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you're completely right. It's been a really challenging last couple of years. And I think if we look back to 2020, the biggest lesson for us has been the enormous and coordinated support that central banks and governments provided in response to what was an exogenous shock. And so for many countries, actually, the increase in government spending, it was the largest peacetime increase on record. And the lesson from that for us is as we look forward into this next cycle, we would certainly expect greater use of those fiscal stimulus tools that governments have versus the prior cycle, which is, as obviously we know, was much more around monetary stimulus, monetary policy. So I think that's going to be a different backdrop as we look forward. And then I think you mentioned Russia-Ukraine there as well, and clearly that's been very impactful on markets. But it is interesting that this was already a time when the inflationary risks were elevated. And the crisis has exacerbated that, but we could see that those inflationary risks were elevated. And it's interesting to see, just speaking about fiscal policy again, we can see that governments, again, are using that tool to mitigate some of those inflationary risks. So energy price caps, for instance, and subsidies and so on. So I think that's very interesting, and we just have to be mindful of that as we look forward, that there's perhaps a greater willingness to use those fiscal tools as we go forward.
You mentioned the energy shocks. You mentioned elevated inflation. We've obviously got interest rate hikes happening in most major markets around the world. In your view, what do you see as a sort of medium-term implications when constructing a multi-asset fund, looking, and as you mentioned earlier, at that long-term growth, and in particular the StanLib Global Multi-Strategy Growth Fund?
Yeah, sure. And so let me start with our base case view. So, so we've come into the start of the year really expecting global growth to be above trend through the course of the year. And of course, that view has had to change. Global GDP is going to be weaker in Q1 and Q2, but we have entered this shock with healthy corporate balance sheets and a healthy consumer, and we see growth back to trend later in the year. So that's on growth. Now you mentioned inflation, and that's a really key important risk as we look forward. So here, we would expect inflation to remain well above central bank targets through the course of the year, albeit there are some signs that that is starting to peak, but still above trend for the course of the year. So now, what does that mean? Well, we know that global monetary policy is clearly on a tightening course. And as part of that, we've seen bond yields rise substantially. Now, obviously, as a multi-asset investor, that means the fixed income parts of our portfolios are facing some headwinds. Now, we really believe that the ability of central banks to be able to manage this challenging situation with more modest growth and inflation well above target, as labor markets are tight, inflation expectations are creeping up, this is really going to be the key determinant of how long this new cycle is going to be lasting. But what we'd also say is that because of the health of corporates and consumers for the most part, while expectations for earnings growth across markets have come down, what we can see from the first quarter and some of the companies that are reported in the US so far is we've still seen absolute strong growth and no margin worries just yet. So I think back to that sort of how did we come into this crisis? Well, we actually came into the crisis in reasonably good shape. So in the near term, our view is that it certainly it warrants some caution. Back to this sort of earlier prospect of healthy corporates, healthy consumers, we think that if central banks can get a handle on those inflationary expectations, then what we must remember from a multi-asset perspective is even if inflation remains a little bit higher, we know that equities remain one of the best mitigants of higher inflation through time as long as that inflation isn't runaway, because you're getting those growing nominal earnings driving your total return. So I think putting all of this together, there is a shorter term period where certainly we need to be more cautious. But as we look further ahead, we're still confident in the prospect of growth that we'll be able to achieve from our multi-asset portfolio.
Yeah, and that comes to your initial point, which was it's about the long term. Last question. One of the key tools for managing volatility is diversification. What other tools do you potentially use in your funds to manage volatility?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've certainly seen plenty of volatility to be able to think through this at the moment. Diversification of beta and alpha is indeed important, but we do also use some other quantitative signals to help guide us in terms of our portfolio risk management. So, for instance, we look at momentum at an asset class level, and this signal can help guide us in terms of individual asset classes. So, as an example, as we came late into last year, our momentum signal for emerging market equities was looking more cautious. So actually, through this year so far, we've been underweight in terms of emerging market equities, if you look at it through that lens. Then I'd also say that the other tool that we look at is ex-ante volatility at the portfolio level. And again, that's giving us a shorter-term estimate of where volatility for the portfolio may go. And again, that can be another signal if we see that rising to de-risk the portfolio. So putting all of this together, as well as our overall active asset allocation views, we have had lower levels of equity risk in our portfolios, as well as lower levels of duration over recent months.
Gotcha. That's Katie Thornycroft at JP Morgan Asset Management. Appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So back in, I think it was late January, maybe it was early February, I was chatting and looking at value versus growth stocks out of the U.S. Value obviously being low P.E., high dividend, low price to book, and then growth being your predominantly going to be your tech. And at that point, value was winning, and I said, I think that trend continues. Well, it has. Year to date so far in the U.S., value up 8%, growth down 9%. The spread has just expanded over the last couple of months. And Jimmy's point there, inching closer to a U.S. recession. I mean, it sounds alarmist, but as I point out, we're halfway there. NASDAQ, massive sell-off, and I think we're going to continue to see this trend. Certainly, if I look at the sort of big sector that's winning, it's dividend stocks. They're the ones that most outperforming, up 12% year-to-date so far in the U.S. Momentum also under significant pressure. This is not going away. This is The higher rates are hurting. The concerns around inflation are hurting. The concerns around recession. As Jimmy said, who wants to put money into this market right now? Short answer, no idea how long this trend is going to last, but be careful out there. That's it for today. A poll yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter. We were talking around Jerome Powell and his team, and they'd raised interest rates 0.5%. And the market rallied hard. It had a really good Wednesday. Of course, all taken back last night, plus some. And the question we asked, is the Federal Reserve doing enough to fight inflation? About a quarter of you said, yep, you think that they're winning. With a third each, one third of you saying too early to tell, which I think is probably the correct one. But the other option, which a third of you picked as well, not even close. And I worry, and we've chatted with Adrian Saville, and he says rates should be 6, 7, 8% in the US. They're not even 1% at this point. To have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.